Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, JV. In this show, I'll break down the Avalanche's playoff run. I'll give my overall thoughts about the 2009-2010 season, and I'll throw the Auraria Higher Education Center Parking Authority into the penalty box. Those topics and plenty more coming up in episode number 53 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stick around. I'll be right back. Hello, Avalanche fans. Welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche. I'm your host, Jay Veen. I'd like to be talking a little more hockey right now. I know you guys would like to hear a little more hockey right now, but it just wasn't meant to be. I'm going to include all my thoughts on the playoff run and my thoughts on most of the players and everything else, but it was a good year. So the first thing I want to do, welcome, first of all. Thanks for a great season. I'll talk a little bit more about that later, but I appreciate your support this season and in seasons past, and we'll do it all over again here in a few months. We'll take a little break. Everybody needs a break, but first thing I want to do is clean up some of the mess I made last show. Next number is retired. I talked about in the last show, I talked about Peter Forsberg. I talked about Adam Foote, and I think Milan Hejduk is also going to be on that list. So I meant to add him, and I didn't. So Forsberg, Foote, and Hejduk, I believe, are your next three numbers retired for the Avalanche. We'll kind of see how that goes, but it's been a pleasure watching those guys either way. Memorable cup moments. I know I talked a little bit about those as well, and I said Joe Sakic's power play goal in Game 7 of the 2001 Stanley Cup put the Avalanche up 3-1, I believe I said. It was 3-0 at that time, and I messed that up, so sorry about that. And the Avalanche's GM, Greg Sherman, I know I had kind of butchered his name as well, so picking up the mess I made in episode number 52 of the Avs Hockey Podcast, you're home for almost everything Avalanche. And that's what I do. I screw up every show. I just thought I'd made enough mistakes in the last show to include some corrections this show, so thanks for sticking with me. All right, this is episode number 33. Jersey number 53 is in the Avalanche's history. There were three. Brett McLean played 160 games for the Avalanche in during the 05-06 and the 06-07 seasons. Sorry. 24 goals, 51 assists in 160 games played. Brett McLean, number 53. Actually, one of his jerseys was just up on eBay. If he was a larger guy, I would have bought it, but he's not, so I didn't. Another jersey number 53 for the Avalanche in their history. Derek Morris arrived October 1st, 2002, when the Avalanche traded Chris Drury and Stefan Yell to the Flames for Derek Morris, Jeff Schanz, and Dean McCammon. So the move that everybody got kind of sad about. The Avalanche haven't quite been the same since they got rid of Chris Drury. It was great to see Stefan Yell back. I hope he's back next year for the price that he is he's paid. He's definitely worth it. Takes some of the penalty kill. I don't know, pressure off the youngsters like a Matt Duchene. He doesn't have to kill penalties. He can go worry about scoring goals. But anyways, Derek Morris left. Well, I'm including the arrival and the departure. You know, for a good purpose here. He left March 9th, 2004, when the Avalanche traded Derek Morris and Keith Ballard to the Phoenix Coyotes for Ossi Vananen, Chris Gratton, and a 2005 second-round draft pick. If that rings a bell, in 2005, the Avalanche took a second-round pick by the name of Paul Stastny. So, Derek Morris leaving, Chris Drury almost getting traded as well, led to the Avalanche getting Paul Stastny. Not bad. I'll call it. Well, it's close to a wash, but whatever. So Derek Morris, another number 53. But the number 53 I'm going to stick with for this show is Matt Hendricks, 28-year-old rookie for the Avalanche this season. On June 24th, 2008, the Avalanche traded Johnny Boychuk to the Bruins for Matt Hendricks. He's my kind of player. He's hard-nosed. He accepts his role for sure. Plays his tail off because he has to. And he wore number 53 in four games played during that 08-09 season. We all know him now as number 15. 56 games played for the Avalanche this season, 9 goals, 7 assists, and I believe third on the team with 74 penalty minutes. The Avalanche are definitely better with him in the lineup. He's a character player, a role guy. He and Cody McLeod, outstanding in the playoffs, bringing some energy and some physical some physicality to the Avalanche's game. Matt Hendricks, jersey number 53, not this season, but he has been in the past. This will be the Matt Hendricks edition of the Avs Hockey Podcast, your home for almost everything Avalanche. All right, let's get to the game. Since my last show, I'll cover all of them. Game number 82 for the Avalanche was Sunday, April 11th against the Kings at Pepsi Center. The Avalanche lost this one 2-1 in overtime. It didn't matter. It was more of a scrimmage anyways. The Avalanche gave away the jerseys off their back after the game, and I didn't get one. A little sour about that. Whatever. All right, playoffs. Round one, game one. The playoffs began Wednesday, April 14th at San Jose at the HP Pavilion against the Sharks. The Avalanche win this one 2-1. Sorry, having some voice issues. In the first period, 28 seconds in, Chris Stewart takes a hooking penalty. Craig Anderson stops all six power play shots and sets the tone for the rest of the game for sure. In the second period at 12:38, John Michael Lyle scores his first of the playoffs on the power play, a slap shot from the point with a big Chris Stewart screen in front of the net. Kind of reminded me of Ray Bourque in the 2001 playoffs and when he beat Martin Brodeur in game three above his glove hand. I don't know, just shades of that. Avalanche take a 1-0 lead. And the Avalanche were the better team in the second period, out shooting the Sharks 12-3. In the third period at 7:59, Ryan Clough scored his first of the playoffs. Andy was screened by Joe Pavelski. I'll mention Pavelski a few more times. What a beast during this series. And the game is tied up at 1. And then at 19:10, 49.3 seconds left in regulation, Chris Stewart scores his first of the playoffs from Paul Stastny and T.J. Gagliardi. And the Avalanche win this one 2-1 in outstanding fashion. Craig Anderson, 25 saves on 26 shots, and Evgeny Nabokov for the Sharks, 28 saves on 30 Avalanche shots. Notables for each team, John Michael Lyles, a goal on 3 shots. Chris Stewart, a goal on 4 shots. Paul Stastny, 2 assists. Kyle Quincy, 5 shots. And T.J. Gagliardi, an assist in 3 shots for the Avalanche. And for the Sharks, Rob Blake, 3 shots. Devin Setoguchi, an assist and 6 shots. Joe Thornton, 5 shots. Ryan Clough, a goal and 3 shots. And Danny Heatley and Patrick Marleau, both combined, only had 3 shots. Avalanche did a good job on this line during the series. Kept them kind of in order. The second line, not so much. I'll talk about them. The officiating, definitely an issue in the first game of the series. The Avalanche robbed of 2 double minor high-sticking penalties, one on Evgeny Nabokov and another, I can't remember whose stick it was, but it actually knocked out T.J. Gagliardi's tooth. There's some pictures of it laying on the ice, and he had 14 stitches, and I don't know. You try not to make officiating an excuse. I'll never say it wins or loses games, but 8 minutes worth of power plays, that's almost a half a period that the Avalanche would have had in power plays that they didn't have. But they end up winning this game anyway, so you can kind of argue that things even out anyways. A little karma for Rob Blake for the hit on Peter Mueller. On April 4th, Blake was in the box for John Michael Lyle's power play goal, and when Chris Stewart throws the puck out in front of the net with 49.3 seconds left, whose skate does it hit and gets past Evgeny Nabokov? Rob Blake. So there you go. I think everything was even after that. Wednesday, April 14th, the Avalanche take a 1-0 series lead against the San Jose Sharks, and they win that game 2-1. All right, round one, game two, Friday, April 16th, the Avalanche at the Sharks. They lose this one in overtime, 6-5. In the first period, it seemed pretty normal. Kyle Komiski scores his first at 1:10 on some crazy bounces. And at 19:18, Manny Malhotra scores his first of the series on the power play, 1-1 going into the second. Like I said, things seemed pretty normal at that point, but 6 goals later in the second period, Chris Stewart with his second at 24 seconds from Craig Anderson. Rob Blake his first at 3:43, 25 seconds later. Milan Hayduk scores his first at 4:08. Devin Setoguchi then scores his first at 7:10. Brandon Yip scores his first. These are all the first in the playoffs. Brandon Yip scores his first 17:30. And Scott Nickel, 19:45, scores his first of the playoffs. The score is, let's see, that equals 4-4 going into the second period, or going into the third period. And then Chris Stewart scores his second of the game, his third of the playoffs at 5:34 from Paul Stastny and Ryan Wilson. Avalanche lead all of a sudden. And then like they did four other times in this game, they blew that one goal lead. Joe Pavelski scores his first at 19:28, and we go into overtime tied at 5. At 5:22, Devin Setoguchi scores his second on the power play, and the Avalanche lose 6-5 in overtime. Here's your shots for the game. In the first period, the Avalanche are outshot 19-6. In the second period, the Avalanche are outshot 10-4. And in the third period, the Avalanche are outshot 17-8. Added up, the Avalanche get outshot 52-22 in this game. Sorry, more voice issues. Craig Anderson, 46 saves on 52 Shark shots. And Evgeny Nabokov, 17 saves on 22 Avalanche shots. Here's your notables for the Avalanche. Matt Duchene, 2 assists and 4 shots. Chris Stewart, 2 goals and 4 shots. Paul Stastny, an assist and 3 shots. And Brandon Yip, a goal and an assist. Here's your long list of San Jose Shark notables, since they scored so many dang times and they had so many stupid shots. Anyways, Rob Blake, a goal and 5 shots. Joe Pavelski, a goal, an assist, and 8 shots. Patrick Marleau and Danny Heatley, both with an assist and 5 shots. Ryan Clough, 2 assists and 4 shots. Devin Setoguchi, 2 goals and 7 shots. Joe Thornton, 2 assists. Scott Nickel, a goal and 4 shots. Dan Boyle, 2 assists and 4 shots. And Manny Malhotra, a goal and 3 shots. All right, kind of disappointing for us Avalanche fans in this game, but here's a little perspective which might, help you feel. It won't help you feel better, but it might make you, understand a little bit better. The Avalanche, lucky to make it into overtime in this game. They give up 8 power play chances to a good power play team, and 23 of the Sharks' 52 shots come on the power play. They give up 5. The Avalanche give up 5 leads during the game. They're outshot by 30, like I mentioned before. They gave up goals in the last minute of all 3 regulation periods. And usually in the NHL, if you don't play well enough to win, you don't win. And that's what happened in this game. The Avalanche, definitely a valiant effort. They come out with a lot of energy. But judging by the numbers that I just told you and some of the things that I just mentioned, you're not going to win many games in the NHL playing like that. Disappointing. Game 2, Friday, April 16th, the Avalanche loses 1 in San Jose, 6-5 in overtime, and the series is tied at 1. All right, we'll cover one more game, and there's not a whole lot to cover here. Ryan O'Reilly scores in overtime on Sunday, April 18th, against the Sharks at Pepsi Center, and the Avalanche win this one in overtime. The only goal of game 1-0. Shots, again, are an issue. The Avalanche outshoot the Sharks 9-8 in the first period, and then in the second and third period, the Avalanche are outshot combined 42-7. 51-17 were the shots. Evgeny Nabokov saved 16 of the 17 Avalanche shots, and Craig Anderson with a 51 save epic performance, I think only to be rivaled by Patrick Waugh's performance against the Panthers in the 96 Cup final in game 4. Unbelievable effort by him. Notables, Rob Blake, Scott Nickel, and Patrick Marleau for the Sharks, all with 5 shots. Manny Malhotra with 7 shots, and Devin Setoguchi, as well as Ryan Clough for the Sharks, 8 shots apiece. The only notable for the Avalanche, Paul Stastny with 3 shots, and obviously Ryan O'Reilly with the game winner. Dan Boyle put this into his own net. Ryan O'Reilly got enough of the puck, and I'll post the video on the site. You'll be able to see it. I'm sure you've seen it already anyways, but Andy has an amazing performance in this one. A huge ovation when he came back out onto the ice. Sold out crowd. I heard it was bonkers in there. I wasn't there for this one, but I was there for the other 2 home games for the Avalanche had in this series. It was really cool, the fans, to be able to honor Craig Anderson the way he should be honored. And there you go. The Avalanche don't necessarily earn this victory, but they hang in there just enough. They get outshot, like I said, basically 6-1 in the last 2 periods of regulation, but they find a way to win, and that's never a bad thing. Round 1, game 3, the Avalanche win April 18th against the Sharks 1-0 in overtime. I'll be right back. I'll cover games 4, 5, and 6. I've got all kinds of other stuff for you, including my thoughts on the parking prices downtown. Unbelievable. I've got plenty more for you. Stick around. I'll be right back. Avalanche fans, welcome back to episode number 53 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche. I'm your host, Jay Veen, and this is the Matt Hendricks edition of the show. This is the second half of the first segment of the show. Let's get back to the action. Tuesday, April 20th, the Avalanche lose in overtime against the Sharks at Pepsi Center. Game four of the series. They lose 2-1. Dan Boyle with a little hockey karma. 1-12 into the first period. Scores his first of the playoffs after he scored, well, his second. You know what I mean. Scores his first of the playoffs. Kind of make up for his blunder in the game before. Sharks lead 1-0. Paul Stastny with his first at 3:27 in the second period. A great tip by him. Rob Blake in the box yet again. And crazy second period, kind of reminiscent of the second period of game two. San Jose 15 shots in this period and the Avalanche with 14 shots. That's crazy. Third period, no scoring, and then in overtime, 10:24 into the overtime, Joe Pavelski with a second of the series, and the Sharks win 2-1. Evgeny Dabakov saves 33 of 34 shots, and Craig Anderson 43 of 45. Joe Pavelski, a goal, an assist, and four shots on net. Patrick Marleau, Danny Heatley, Torrey Mitchell, and Manny Malhotra, all for the Sharks with four shots. Devin Setoguchi with seven shots, and Ryan Clough, two assists and three shots. John Michael Lyles, five shots. Chris Stewart, six shots. Paul Stastny, a goal and three shots. Marek Svatos, four shots on net. And Brandon Yip, an assist and four shots in this game. The Avalanche played way better this game than they did in Game 3, but the result wasn't quite as good. This game needed a Milan Hajduk. Actually, all the games needed a Milan Hajduk and a Peter Mueller. I believe with those guys in the lineup, they start to run this Sharks team a little bit ragged, especially here in the altitude. In the altitude, Dan Boyle had mentioned that he was dying. If he would have seen those two, he would have been running around way more than he did. I don't know. Throw in David Jones in the mix, and who knows what happens. And I know us Avalanche fans like bringing that up, and it didn't happen. But I'm just curious to see what would have happened if those guys would have been healthy. Would have been more entertaining to watch, and I think it would have been a little bit better of a series. It wasn't that bad to begin with, but it would have been a better series for sure. And the Sharks, at least at this point, were beginning to look a little bit tired with a couple overtime. Well, straight overtime. Well, this is the third straight overtime game. But interesting anyways, April 20th, the Avalanche lose against the Sharks at Pepsi Center 2-1 in overtime. And the series, let's see, what was the series at this point? It was, I don't remember, game four. Let me do the math here. Avalanche win. Avalanche, it was 2-2. There you go. All right, let's move on to game five of the series, Tuesday, April 22nd at the San Jose Sharks. Sorry. Avalanche loses 5-0 in the first period. No scoring. Craig Anderson, the only reason why there wasn't any scoring. The Avalanche outshot 12-2. In the second period, at 8:25, Logan Couture scores his first of the playoffs to give the Sharks a 1-0 lead. At 10:21, Joe Pavelski is third on the power play. At 15:30, Dwight Helman his first of the playoffs. Shots in the second period, San Jose 17, the Avalanche 9. In the third period at 10:37, Logan Couture scores his second of the game, second of the playoffs. And at 13:24, Patrick Marleau scores his first of the series on the power play. Avalanche lose 5-0. Craig Anderson, 29 saves on 33 shots. And Peter Budaj came in and saved three or four shots. He saw Evgeny Nabokov, 28 saves for the shutout. Notables for your Avalanche, Matt Duchene and Marek Svatos with three shots. That's it. There you go. Joe Pavelski, a goal and three shots for the Sharks. Patrick Marleau, a goal, an assist, and five shots. Danny Heatley, Devin Setoguchi, two assists. Dan Boyle, an assist and four shots. Manny Malhotra, who's kind of a beast, and he was mentioned in maybe some free agent signings. Avalanche, I don't know. I don't know who they picked up besides him, but still got it. Five shots for him. Dwight Helman, a goal and three shots. And Logan Couture, two goals and four shots. The one good thing about this game, I guess it was easy to move on from because the Avalanche got smashed in this one. Not a good way to move into game six. But from the beginning, I had said a six-game series would be, you know, a successful one for the Avalanche, and that's what they did. They ended up making the Sharks nervous, and I guess that's all you can ask for the most part. Thursday, April 22nd, the Avalanche lose at the Shark Tank against the Sharks, 5-0. Sorry. Having some throat issues. No big deal. You guys are used to that. Saturday, April 24th, Game 6, the Avalanche lose to end their season against the Sharks at Pepsi Center 5-2. Things started early. Joe Pavelski, his fourth on the wraparound at 47 seconds. But the Avalanche come back. Marek Svato scores his first at 6:14 in the second period to tie it up at 1. That was exciting. At 4:51 in the third period, Brandon Yip scores his second of the series to give the Avalanche a 2-1 lead, and things were looking good at that point. But about 2.5 minutes later, Dan Boyle scores his second of the series. At 9:02, Joe Pavelski scores his fifth. And before you know it, the lead is all gone. That was a minute and a half between those two goals. Devin Setoguchi at 19:08 scores his third into an empty net. And then at 19:29, Doug Murray scores his first of the playoffs as well. Avalanche lose 5-2. Evgeny Nabokov, 16 saves on only 18 Avalanche shots. And Craig Anderson, 29 saves on 32 Shark shots. No notables for the actually, I have a few notables for the Avalanche. Brett Clark, Chris Stewart, and Marek Svatos, all with 3 shots. And Matt Duchene and Kyle Komiski, both -3. I think they were on the ice for one of the empty netters, but either way, not a good performance by them. Doug Murray for the Sharks, a goal, 2 assists. He was a +3 for the game. Rob Blake, an assist and 4 shots. Joe Pavelski, 2 goals, an assist and 4 shots. He was a +4 for this game. Devin Setoguchi, a goal, 4 shots. He was a +3. Dan Boyle, a goal, an assist, and he was a +3. And Ryan Clough, 2 assists, and he was a +4. I think some of those had to do with the empty net goals, but anyways, those are some pretty good numbers. So as quickly as everything got all exciting in the series, especially with Brandon Yip's goal in the third, the Avalanche only muster up 3 shots in the third period and kind of fighting for their lives. They look kind of tired, a little worn out, and I don't know. You got to give them some credit, though. It was exciting. It was a cool playoff run, and I'll talk about that in 1 second. During this game and during game, four, I went downtown with my dad like I always do. We go to the games together. Been doing that for like 30 years. So we go to the game, and all of a sudden, parking in the $6 lot is $10. And all of a sudden, parking in the $10 lot is $20. And I need to throw there's a campus near Pepsi Center. It's the Auraria Higher Education Center, whatever they call it now. It includes Metropolitan State College of Denver. I graduated with my undergrad there. Go Roadrunners. Community College of Denver is there, and University of Colorado Denver is there. That's where I got my master's degree. But anyways, normal parking is, $2.50 in that lot. Actually, the lot that we park in is $3.50. If there's someone sitting in the booth gathering money during the game, it's $6. And then during the playoffs, it's $10. So basically, they double the prices, especially in the closer lots, which is, I don't know. I just thought that was not a real cool move by them. Doubling the prices, knowing that people are going to be there, pretty weak. When the prices have been $10 in one of the lots, and now it's $20, and then all of a sudden they want $4 extra. It was hard to tell during game 4 exactly how many more cars were there. But in game 6, there was probably 40 cars in the lot that we usually park in. And so they made like a couple hundred extra bucks. I don't know where a couple hundred extra bucks goes, but weak move by Auraria campus to almost double the prices. Well, double the prices in some of the lots, not the lot we usually park in, but definitely weak knowing that people are going to be there. And thanks for a great season, Auraria. I just thought that wasn't a very classy move by them. But parking's always an issue down there. They just make an absolute ton of money on parking down there. It's a commuter college, so they charge for parking every single day. I don't know where it all goes, but I hope their $200 extra that they made during Game 6 goes a really long ways. Congratulations. Way to go, you guys. Overall thoughts on the series. It was a decent showing by the Avalanche. I said from the start that Game 6 would be great, and that's what happened. Size is an issue. Size is always an issue in the NHL. If you have big guys that can skate, you're going to win some games, and that's what the Sharks do. They punish you physically. Not quite as fast as the Avalanche, but I think the physicality of this series took its toll on the Avalanche after a while. Not everybody is a Chris Stewart. If the Avalanche had more Chris Stewarts, big bruising guys, especially on the defensive end, I think this would have been a little bit different of a series. Offense was also an issue. Having Hajduk and Mueller out of the lineup was big. Like I said before, I would love to see that series with Hajduk, Mueller, and David Jones in, and just hopefully see the Avalanche run the Sharks ragged. But the Avalanche have some defensive needs that need to be addressed. Kyle Komiski was a -7 in the series. Ruslan Soleil, Brett Clark, I don't think you'll see them back. Adam Foote, we'll see. Kyle Kaminsky has some questions to be answered as well. Does he make up for his defensive shortcomings as far as the physical side with his offensive upside? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see on that. But there has also been some whispers that he's going to have to earn his job back with some of the youngsters coming up through the system and guys that the Avalanche have signed. So it could be interesting as far as that goes. Officiating, missed calls, not always an issue. There's a difference between missing calls and earning power plays. The Avalanche didn't spend near enough time in the Sharks zone or commanding some attention on the rush. That's where you get the hooks and the interferences and things like that. If the Avalanche play a little bit better, have some certain guys in the lineup, they have some puck possession a little bit more often in the series, and I guarantee you they get more calls. That's just how it goes. On top of that, though, or on the other hand, there were some serious missed calls. So Avalanche fans, a lot of them really upset about that. Every time the Avalanche came into the Shark zone, which wasn't very often, there seemed to be a penalty of some kind. So I understand both sides. Missed calls, it really didn't seem like things were that even, but on the other hand, the Avalanche didn't do a great job of earning power plays, and that's what you have to do in the league. So I understand both sides. I will never blame the officiating for losses. I'm a coach myself, and I will never do that. So that's kind of the perspective you always get from me. The Avalanche outplayed and outshot badly. They won one game off Rob Blake's skate and another off Dan Boyle's stick, basically. So overall, the Avalanche were lucky to get to six games, and they made the Sharks nervous. But they were outplayed pretty badly during the series. So you have to give them some credit for getting there because no one thought they would be. And they were obviously pretty much competitive, but they were outplayed. But overall, as a whole, a great season for the Avalanche. I think if you told us Avalanche fans at the beginning of the year that this Avs team would lose in the first round of the playoffs in six games against the top team in the Western Conference, we all would have taken that, no doubt. So still an exciting – a couple of things this season wasn't supposed to be, and for those of you that see my video, I'll explain a little bit later. It wasn't supposed to be memorable, and it wasn't supposed to be successful. And it was. We know when Matt Duchene scores his shootout goal against Roberto Luongo to get the Avalanche in the playoffs, that's the most excited I've been about Avalanche hockey probably for the last two or three seasons. So some outstanding work by the coaching staff, by Greg Sherman, by the whole organization to kind of make the Avalanche for real way before they were supposed to be for real. It was supposed to be rebuilding for a couple seasons, and now that time is over. So congratulations to them. The Avalanche have a lot to build on. The future is looking exciting. It's looking bright, and it looks like the Avs will be a power for a while, and the Western Conference and the NHL is starting to buy into that, which they should. So there's my overall thoughts on the series and on the season. I'll give my overall thoughts on some of the players in the next segment. I'll be right back in the second segment. I will cover some of the upcoming dates that you want to put down on the calendar when it comes to the Avalanche and for the NHL, and I'll also give my breakdown on Avalanche players throughout the season. It won't take too long. I don't know. Whatever. I'll be right back. All right, Avalanche fans, welcome back to episode number 53 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche. I'm your host, Jay Veen. This is the news and notes section of the show. This is also the Matt Hendricks edition of the show. He wore jersey number 53 for four games during the 08-09 season. He's my kind of player. Matt Hendricks edition of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche. All right, here's your news and notes. Besides the playoff injuries, we won't talk about those. Those don't matter anymore. Everybody's got plenty of time to get better. April 22nd, Wings goaltender Jimmy Howard, Sabres defenseman Tyler Myers, and Avalanche center Matt Duchene were named the 2009-2010 Calder Memorial Trophy finalists. For non-hockey people who don't follow the trophies that much, that's the Rookie of the Year. The winner will be announced June 23rd in Las Vegas. Everybody's saying Tyler Myers is the leader kind of in, I don't know, the favorite for the trophy. I didn't watch him enough to really be an expert in any of this. I watch as much hockey as I can, and the Avalanche is about all I can watch. I'd love to watch more, but I have other stuff. So I can't really comment on that. I think nomination is really, really cool. So Matt Duchene, congratulations for that. April 26th, Matt Duchene was also added to the Team Canada roster for the World Championships in Germany. I'll talk about those in a second. April 28th, Joe Sacco was nominated for the 2009-2010 Jack Adams Award for the NHL Coach of the Year. Dave Tippett for the Coyotes and Barry Trotz for the Predators were also nominated for this award. Definitely congratulations to him. June 23rd in Vegas is when that will be announced. So congratulations. Not a big surprise there. I think everybody expected him to be there. I think Dave Tippett is your leader there, being as these are all Western Conference teams and we can watch all of them a little bit more. But either way, nominations are very, very cool. Congratulations to Coach Joe Sacco. All right, April 29th. TJ Gagliardi and Joe Sacco, it was announced that they will represent the United States in the 2010 International Ice Hockey Federation World Championships held in Germany on May 7th through the 23rd. So congratulations to them. And also on May 1st, the Avalanche also announced that Team Canada added Kyle Comiskey to the Canada roster for the World Championships in Germany in early May as well. So in a few days, that'll start up. Interesting. It's an Olympic year. A lot of guys still playing. Not necessarily your best guys out there, but it's the best of who's not playing. And congratulations to all the Avalanche people involved in that, Matt Duchene, TJ Gagliardi, Kyle Comiskey, as well as Joe Sacco. Avalanche represented well, as they should be once again in international competition. So congratulations to them. All right, let's go over real quickly. Oh, I got three stars of the podcast for you. Forgot about that. All right, but honorable mentions for the playoffs, Cody McLeod and Matt Hendricks. Tons of energy, lots of hits. Whenever they're on the ice, the Sharks are getting punished. That's what you expect out of those two guys. That's what they brought all year long. I like those two guys, and hopefully they'll be around for a while. So Cody McLeod and Matt Hendricks, honorable mention. Also honorable mention, Brandon Yip. Two goals, two assists, a bright future for hopefully a future power forward to join Stewie up front and just punish people on the offensive and defensive end of the ice for many years to come for the Avalanche. Brandon Yip, honorable mention. Good job, man. Third star for the podcast, Paul Stastny, a goal and four assists, a steady leader for the Avalanche, a beautiful pass to Brandon Yip in the third period of game six to help the Avalanche take a 2-1 lead, which disappeared after that. But Paul Stastny, not the offensive power that everybody would like him to be because he makes $6.6 million a year, blah, blah, blah. We hear it a lot. But he is steady. He is the Avalanche's leader, future captain. The Avalanche are 100 times better with him in the lineup. He's just not an Alexander Ovechkin or a Sidney Crosby, and everybody busts him for that. But I like what he does. I like his style. He makes everybody around him better, and he plays well on both ends of the ice. You can't ask for much more than that. Paul Stastny, a third star. Second star for the show, Chris Stewart, three goals in the playoffs, game-winning goal in game one. He also got flipped off. That was funny. For those of you that have seen the picture, lady flipping him off after he scored the goal in game one off Rob Blake's skate, that was outstanding. Worth a trip to the playoffs just with that. But Chris Stewart, power forward, what every good NHL team needs, and he's the guy. Second star for the show. And the first star for the playoffs, pretty easy decision here. Craig Anderson, 2.62 goals against, a shutout in the playoffs. He stopped 223 of 239 Shark shots, a 9.33 save percentage, which I believe still places him second in with the team still available, second in the league as far as the 16 teams that have played so far in the playoffs. That shows you kind of the Avalanche didn't give him a whole lot of offense, obviously. But Craig Anderson, a huge reason why the series goes six. Without him in the lineup, there's no way things go as far as they did. An outstanding season for him, and you got to give him all kinds of credit. Some people have said, you know, other people are the biggest pickups of the 2009 offseason. Yeah, right. Craig Anderson, number one pickup in the offseason by far. You can hear me flipping in the background. All right, let's talk about some players and just some random thoughts about players, and then I'll kind of move on to the third segment. But I did want to mention, it's not going to be everybody on the lineup in the lineup, but I just wanted to mention my thoughts on every player in the lineup just really, really quickly, just to kind of give you my perspective. If you want to talk about this a little bit more, I'll give you some. There's always that opportunity. You can email me or catch me on Twitter or my Facebook page or whatever, but we'll get to that in a minute. But Paul Stastny, 79 points for the Avalanche, leading scorer, gets a silver medal in the Olympics and tied for sixth in the league with 59 regular season assists. Paul Stastny, you've heard me talk about him. I'm a big fan of his. I like the way he plays the game. He's not not an Alexander Ovechkin or a Sidney Crosby, as I said before, but he's the leader for this team, and I like him a lot. So Paul Stastny, great season. Chris Stewart, 28 goals, led the team in goals, and will knock you on your tail as well. You got to love that. Matt Duchene, Calder candidate, 24 goals on the season. Bright future for the 19-year-old. Milan Hayduk, 23 goals in only 56 games played. He is signed through next year. I hope his knee, he's got one bad knee that really, I guess, surgery can't fix. So hopefully he's got one or two more good years. I worry about when he leaves, when he's done with this team. But there's some youngsters, hopefully, that can come up and either take his place, like a Brandon Yip can take his place with that many goals, or a couple of guys can take his place. But I worry about this team after Hayduk goes, but that's a good thing because he provides so much on the offensive end. Let's see, TJ Gagliardi, 15 goals, some last-minute heroics, some Joe Sakic-like stuff, last-minute goals, things like that. Also in the playoffs, he's proved that he's going to be a little bit of a pest by the way he plays and the kind of the way he gets under the opposition's skin. I hadn't seen that all year. He'll kind of take Darcy Tucker's place as the pest. So, well, Darcy Tucker's not a pest any longer. But TJ Gagliardi, I'm thinking he can bring that kind of energy to the Avalanche. He was tied for fourth in the league with four shorthanded goals as well. So TJ Gagliardi, a bright future for him. Peter Mueller, 20 points in 15 games played for the Avalanche. Looks way better in the Avalanche's burgundy and blue than he did in the desert with the Dogs. But Peter Mueller, 22 years old. He just turned 22. Another reason why a lot of teams are looking for this Avalanche organization to be really, really good for years to come. John Michael Lyles, the guy that everybody wanted traded at the deadline. His numbers, yeah, he is a little bit overpaid, but he got his confidence back, and this team I think is better with him in the lineup. Provides kind of that second wave of attack from the blue line, joins the rush when he can, and John Michael Lyles I think is back, and I think people don't mind that quite as much as they did at the trade deadline because he just was not looking good, but he's back. Ryan O'Reilly, future penalty kill expert, defensive specialist at 20 years old. And I think maybe signing Stefan Yelf for another year. He and O'Reilly can work and talk together. And then, you know, you can kind of go with that for many, many more years. But Ryan O'Reilly, a pleasant surprise, a second-round draft pick that makes the opening roster. It's been that doesn't happen very, very often. So congratulations to him. I think the whole season changed when he made the roster and they realized what they had in that second-round pick. So congratulations. Unexpected, I guess, to us fans. But as far as the organization, a great second-round pick by them. Kyle Komiski, the Roadrunner, I'd say perhaps the goal of the year with his overtime winner against the Thrashers 8 seconds into overtime. That was outstanding. But overall, I don't know if his offense really covers up for his lack of size and defense, but we'll have to wait and see on him. He's going to get bigger and stronger, so hopefully that'll pay off in the future. Brandon Yip, 11 goals in 32 games played. Had some trouble staying healthy, but love the energy that he brings to the team. Cody McLeod, 138 penalty minutes. Plenty of energy on both ends of the ice. We all love him. We know that. Adam Foote didn't have his best year physically, like from a playing nature, but you know he did a lot on the on the leadership side. The new captain of the Avalanche did a great job. I think on that end, I don't know. There's a lot of people saying that he'd like to come back, but the Avalanche maybe won't welcome him back. So I don't know if you can say no to him if he says he'd like to come back. I don't even know if you can cut him. That would be kind of strange. But it'll be interesting to see. Adam Foote, a big question mark for next year. Hopefully he can rest up. And, you know, if he wants to play, hopefully he can come back a little bit better than he did on the, you know, on the physical end this year. Not his best year on the ice, but I think he did a lot of great stuff off the ice, like I said. All right, a couple more. Stefan Yelf, good to see him back with the Avalanche, a PK specialist. And reacquiring an old friend with two cups is never a bad idea. It was good to see him back here, and he did some great things towards the end of the year and in the playoffs to, I think, help this Avalanche team go as far as they did. So for the price tag, I think he's worth coming back if he'd like to come back and just have him fill that role on the third and fourth lines and kill penalties like he's always done. So we'll see about him. And last but definitely not least, Craig Anderson, 38 wins, 7 shutouts, the best free agent pickup of the 09 offseason. And it was really, really cool to have him be a part of this team. A big surprise, I think, to a lot of people as well as he played. So he'll be back next season. He signed through next year at a bargain discount. And I don't know, maybe they'll even add some years onto that contract because he's definitely earned it. So we'll see about this team next year. They're probably going to get younger. They're definitely going to get younger, but they're going to get better as well. So bright future and a lot sooner than all of us thought they would. they you know, a lot better a lot sooner than we all thought they would be. So I think you know what I'm saying with that. Anyways, all right, I'll be right back. I'll give you some upcoming dates that you want to put down on the calendar, and I'll also tell you where you can find me, where you can contact me on the internet, as well as a bunch of my friends. So thanks for sticking with me. Stick around, I'll be right back. All right, Avalanche fans, welcome back to the third and final segment, and final segment of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche. I'm your host, Jay Veen. This is episode number 53, the Matt Hendricks edition. If you need details, rewind. Yeah, this is it. It's hard to believe the season's over already. It's been a lot of fun. It's gone by fast when we all thought it might have gone by kind of slow, but this is it. Some of you are like, jeez, thank you. It's 40 minutes, 49 seconds, 50 seconds, way too long. But I got to get all my thoughts in. So it was a good season, so there's plenty to talk about, and that's always a good thing. All right, here's your upcoming events. May 7th through the 23rd, the International Ice Hockey Federation Men's World Championships in Germany. So check that out. I don't know whether they'll be on TV somewhere, especially with the playoffs going on, but it's something worth following with all the Avalanche representation going on. June 23rd, the NHL Awards in Las Vegas. Joe Sacco for Coach of the Year and Matt Duchene for Rookie of the Year. So, well, worth tuning in on that. June 25th and 26th at the Staples Center in Los Angeles, the 2010 NHL Draft. The Avalanche will have somewhere near the 17th pick, depending on how some teams do in the playoffs this season. So a fairly high pick. So it'll be interesting to see what the Avalanche do with that and see what they choose to add, whether it's a big defenseman, I don't know, some goaltending depth. I don't know. Hopefully somebody good. Boy, I could be a scout with those kind of thoughts. July 1st, free agency. Look for the Avalanche to add defensemen. I think that's their number one thing right now. We will see. And then early October 2010, we'll do it all over again. Can't wait for opening day and all the good stuff that comes with that. And I think it'll be here before we know it. So, you know, when's the last time? Well, it's been a couple seasons, but when's the last time that the season ended and you're like, man, I can't wait till October? That's every season, but especially this season. It's going to be fun. So we'll see. All right, here's where you can find me. Most of you already found me somewhere or another, the AvsHockeyPodcast.com website. I just posted an Animoto video I made with a program called Animoto to my end of the season thoughts, and I think you might like it. So if you don't get my show through my website, go to my website, AvsHockeyPodcast.com, and check out my Animoto video. It should be right underneath the posting for this podcast. Check it out. Let me know what you think. Really fun to make, and kind of my way of dealing with the end of the year. iTunes, if you find me on there, thank you very much for that. If you get a few seconds, please leave me some feedback. It makes it easier for people to find me on iTunes. Just search for the Avs Hockey Podcast when you get to iTunes, and I will be there. So if you could subscribe on there, if you're not already, I would definitely appreciate it. There's the Avs Hockey Podcast Facebook page. There are no longer fans on there. It's people who like my page. So I definitely want to give a big hello and a thank you to Jessica Craver, who is always there to provide a little feedback and say hi and say this is cool and things like that. So, Jessica, thank you very much for your time. And also a big hello to my man Chris Huffine, who I talked to at the games, and we'll talk a lot more next year. Chris, sorry we couldn't talk more this year, but the Avalanche didn't play when it was good for Chris's schedule. But he got his money's worth out of his snowboard. I said that last show, but I can't. That I have to mention it again. It's cool. But anyways, like me on Facebook. All you have to do is search for the Avs Hockey Podcast. You'll find my page. You'll see my jersey collection. I've got plenty more jerseys coming too. So if you like the Avalanche, if you like Avalanche jerseys, whatever Avalanche, that's your home for almost everything Avalanche on Facebook. So search for me there. I'm also on Twitter, Avs Hockey Podcast, AVSHKYPODCAST. Follow me there. I'll include some Avalanche thoughts as they come into my head. And if you're not following Jory 5280, Angelique Marie, otherwise known as Jory, I think her last name is Marie. I think I got that right. Angelique Marie. If you're not following her, you need to. If you're a Denver sports fan, Jory 5280. Some outstanding thoughts, knowledgeable, mature, and not a person who just craves attention by posting random tweets. She does a great job. Jory 5280, thanks for a great season. And follow her if you get a chance and you guys are on Twitter. You can email me, avalanchepodcast@comcast.net. Would love to hear from you. Email me whenever you feel like it. Or you can find me on my Facebook page or Twitter or wherever. But another option for you if you want to do that. Avalanche.nhl.com is the Avalanche's main site. You guys probably already know that. They've posted their pregame videos, their top 10 hits and top 10 goals, just stuff they usually play on the games on the Jumbotron. I love that they're doing that. I download all of them and I keep them in a file. I love going back to that. I love the music involved with them. It's just a really good stuff done by the Avalanche to share what they do during the games, and they've done a much better job of that this season. So I have to give them credit. I know a lot of people don't give them credit for their online presence, but they've done a much better job of that on Facebook as well. So thank you, Avalanche online or multimedia department. You guys have done a way better job this year. I have to give you credit. So if you guys go to their site, they'll have some videos you can watch. You can watch any goal during the year. That's through NHL video. They'll also have the goal of the year bracket playoff here coming up soon as well. So get your votes in. Kind of a fun thing. I'll be posting up everything on my web, not on my website, but on the Facebook page if you need to get links to that. So check out the Avalanche's homepage, avalanche.nhl.com. Good stuff. AvalancheTalk.com blog by Kevin Nash. On hiatus lately, hasn't been feeling well, and he has a new baby, so he's been busy. But check on there periodically, put it on your RSS feed. AvalancheTalk.com blog by Kevin Nash. We've been together for a few seasons now, and definitely a big hello to him. RinkPodcast.com, James Tapeleg Granlund on hiatus lately, bad internet coverage, working a little too much, but he'll be back, and I think he's going to be back with me. His big comeback show will be a joint podcast between me and him, and I bet you that'll be coming up within the next few weeks. So look for that on his site, but also look for it on mine. It'll be posted both places. It can be me and him talking about Avalanche hockey rather than just me. You don't have to listen to me blab on and on and on. You can listen to us blab on and on and on about Avalanche hockey. But we always have a great conversation. It's fun to – he's a true fan, a true hockey fan, and a great, great guy. If you're not following him on Twitter, he's Tapeleg. But yeah, look for that soon. I'll post it up, and I'll give you guys a big heads up on that. James Tapeleg Granlund, my friend in the hockey business. All right, looking for Avs blogs to follow, go to avalancheguild.com/blog. If you go to their site, you'll get all the blogs that you need, including one hockey podcast that I think you'll enjoy, the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche. I've heard it's good. Justin over there does an outstanding job. www.theavalancheguild.com/blogs for any Avalanche blog that you need to follow. Good job, Justin. Thanks for a great season. And www.avalanchedb.com, jersey number info, classic stats, how many fights people have been in, where they are now, RSS feed to blogs, all kinds of stuff there. Avalanche DB, my friend in the jersey business. I'm doing the Shane Company thing. That's great. Check out their site. A big thank you to them. I got in touch with them to just thank them for all their work, and they said that they had been listening to me as well. So avalanchedb.com, I'll use them for as long as they're there. Thank you for all your work this year, gentlemen. And that's it. That's it for the 2009-2010 season. This will be your last, like, traditional podcast. I'll do my joint one with James, but that's about it for the show for this year. I'll be back next season to bring you all kinds of stuff, Avalanche. Things continue to grow. I just want to thank all of you out there for your support and for listening to the show. I continue to meet great Avalanche fans. My Facebook page, classy fans, people who know how to talk about hockey, and they're not, you know, automatically being unfriendly and you know, venting and everything there. But I just want to thank everybody who has joined me either here on my Facebook page, on Twitter, whatever. Thank you for an outstanding year. It was easier because the Avalanche played so well, but it was also fun because I get to meet so many cool hockey fans you know, either in the virtual world or even people that I've met up with at games. So thank you so much. Running into passionate Avalanche fans who know the game and who love their team no matter what never gets old. So I'll be back here in a couple weeks with my buddy James and, you know, maybe a show during the summer, but I doubt it. I bet you I'll be back next October with your traditional show with all the updates as far as the draft and free agency and things like that. And as I've said before in the show, we'll do it all over again. So thank you once again for everything. And until next time, whenever that is, at least on the traditional show, take care. Let's go Avs. And I'll see you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. See you later.